Welcome to Heart's Beat Podcast, episode 43, Forgive Me My Expectations.
Welcome to the Heart's Beat Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
I don't know about you, but I do enjoy intuitively picking up a card, an angel card, a tarot card, or one of the many cards from my selection that I've gathered over the years. I have a tendency to go to certain cards depending on what I want the answer to be. But on this particular morning, I was using the angel cards that came originally from Finhorn. And there on these cards are certain words, just one word. Of course, I don't like getting the word that says obedience or responsibility. But on this morning, I picked up the word forgiveness and laughed. Second morning, picked up the word forgiveness and laughed. Third morning, picked up the word forgiveness, didn't laugh. Because as you've heard me say, when you see something three times, you better pay attention. So it made me look at what is it that I am forgiving? Who am I forgiving? What is it that I need to forgive within myself? And I've always seen that word forgiving as, what do I need to let go of before I can move forward? Forgive, giving something before I can move forward. And I was very interested to think of my own self as a forgiver. As I am a British person, as you know, and any Brits listening know that we are extremely good at saying sorry. Now, you may say sorry isn't quite the same as forgiveness, but sorry comes close. It's in the middle. But we have this obsession with saying sorry for anything, even when it's not our fault. If someone bangs the door in your face, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have put my face there. If they tread on your toe, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have put my foot there. We say sorry before we've even thought about whether there was a perpetrator of this problem, whether or not we are to blame. In fact, it's really a way of us avoiding conflict. Sorry, don't shout at me. Sorry, stay away from me. And you may know that same in yourself. Sorry, but there's a time where it's almost, I'm sorry for existing. I'm sorry that I was even on the path that you might have been on when you walked into me. And that is definitely part of the British culture, to put ourselves down, to devalue ourselves. And I watch as children are taught to say sorry to their playmates. I think it's wonderful. Please forgive me. But I wonder whether or not sometimes we say sorry when we really are not sorry, or we really would like to say something much more powerful, but as a Brit, we just avoid the conflict. So we say, oh, I'm sorry that you hurt, you're hurting and you're crying. I'm sorry that I've hurt your feelings. When really maybe we want to say is, why is it that you're always getting upset whatever I do? Why are you such a wimp? I'm sorry to feel that way about it. Oh, there's my sorry again. But I think that sometimes that forgiveness or that saying sorry really isn't telling the truth. We have stronger feelings, but we are trying to allay them and go back into the harmony again. And I know I still have that tendency to be accountable for something, even when maybe I'm not the main perpetrator in the problem. I'm really trying to calm things down. So just looking at that, I wonder if I'm talking to any of you. Does this make sense to you? So I was looking up, what does forgiveness mean? And psychologically, there is a deep meaning. So excuse me, I'm just going to read this from a piece of paper I took from the internet, but it was so interesting to look at forgiveness in this way. Psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or group who has harmed you. Regardless, and I thought this was interesting, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. So I'm giving you forgiveness, but really underlying, I'm thinking, you don't really deserve it. not sure whether or not that has the impact that is necessary. Just as important as defining forgiveness, it's important to define what it's not. It's not about glossing over or denying the seriousness of an offense, nor does it mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing the perpetrator. Through forgiveness, we hope to repair a damaged relationship, and it doesn't obligate you to continue that relationship with the person who harmed you. And also there may be a legal accountability that they need to face up to. But forgiveness is meant to bring peace of mind and freeing yourself from the deep negative emotions that you might be carrying. So if I forgive you, I am releasing myself from negative emotions. That's the kind of understanding. But it may require even more than that. And experts agree that in the least, it allows you to move forward, empowering you to recognize the pain you suffered without letting that pain define you. I like the way they say that. So it allows you to heal and move on, but without necessarily forgetting what happened. And I think that this was a very good way of looking at forgiveness. I have come across a lot of people who have had serious offenses against them, who have struggled with whether or not they should look for a forgiveness from the perpetrator. There was clearly a victim and a perpetrator. There was no doubt about these situations. But I have had different people take different approaches as the victim. Some have said, what's the point? Because they will deny that this even happened, and therefore I'll just feel worse, and maybe the people around them will then blame me for causing that person to feel emotionally distressed. In other words, if I say that a father abused a child, that child then approaches the father and says, you abused me, and he says, I didn't, and now the mother says, oh, you're a wicked child to even say that. Some of you may have had that experience yourself. And sometimes even you realize that even if they said, yes, I'm so sorry I did this, or forgive me, it doesn't necessarily change what happened to you, because even though the perpetrator is asking for forgiveness, you're still experiencing the trauma. And I feel that is in everybody's different interest to decide what is best for them. Because many a time, especially in abuse, sexual abuse, there is some confusion about, well, what part did I play in this? Now, there should be none. There should be no guilt or that type of feeling, but there is. And so even if someone is physically attacked, they may blame themselves for having walked along that path, if only I hadn't done this. So nothing is quite as simple as just saying, you are the bad guy, I'm the good person, which, again, it's more about how can I both move that person away from my life, I not allow the abuse to continue, and not put myself in a place of guilt or continually abusing myself for something that I know I didn't do, but emotionally and mentally, we sometimes get trapped in those old patterns. I hope you're hearing me say that forgiveness is not as simple as we would like it to be. I forgive you, whether or not you deserve that forgiveness or not, please move on away from my life. That would be wonderful. But it doesn't always lead to our cleansing, our clearing of that situation. We then have to deal with the trauma that is now in our body, in our soul, in our beingness, in our emotions. So those are very big subjects, and I know many different people have worked to help release those emotions. I think it's really good to be able to clear the negative emotions, but they have to be cleared from ourselves as well as they are from the perpetrator. But then maybe we get to other situations where it's much more of an emotional pain, an emotional abuse that you're feeling. And this doesn't have to be something that is very obvious, like someone just really speaking to you in a very disrespectful way. We often have expectations, and this is where I'm coming to with expectations. my expectations of you may have caused me to feel hurt and disappointed that you did not live up to those expectations. And that then causes me to say, you somehow failed me, you are the perpetrator of my pain. So here I'm in a situation where I'm saying, I expect you to react to me or be with me as a friend in a certain way, or as a sister or as a parent, and you didn't meet those needs. And therefore you have caused me the pain that I'm feeling, and it's up to you to apologize. And that's where it becomes rather a misty gray area, because expecting someone else to act in a different way than is right for them means that we have, in what we think, power over them and how they should behave. I expected you to be that way. And where does this come from? This definitely comes from the solar plexus. So here in the solar plexus, the place of our personal power, the place of our feeling okay about ourselves, is also the place of our own self-worth. And to develop self-worth, we often build stories about, I will only feel good if you do this thing. I will feel good if I am the top of the class. That's what I expect. So we build standards and expectations of ourselves, but we also build standards and expectations of a relationship. And it's almost as if before we go into a relationship, we have this checklist and say, if this person really loves me, then they will. And some people have very long checklists based on not reason, I have to say, but pain. My last boyfriend was like this. I will never let anybody do that again. Therefore, this goes onto my checklist. If he really loves me, he will. Or if they really love me, they will. And what we then do, we don't tell the person we're going into a relationship with that we have a checklist. We kind of hide it behind our back and we go into the relationship and they fail to meet that one expectation and we go, strike one. With a little strike against that particular expectation, and strike three, they're out. And they never even knew there was a list. They never knew there was a list of expectations because we never showed them. We never told them what was important to us. And even if we did, and you might be thinking now, well, what is important to me? I mean, does your partner, your sibling, your friend, your parents even know what's important to you? But if we do have that list, is it also realistic? For instance, when I'm looking at someone's astrology natal chart, I will say one of the most important things that you need to tell people around you is the quality that comes from where your moon is in your chart. So my moon is in Aquarius. With my moon in Aquarius, one of the things that I told my husband as soon as we met is that I need space on my own. I need space away from you. That has nothing to do with whether I love you or not. But when I become too stressed or too impacted by other people's emotions, I need time away. Does that make sense? Anybody else who's got moon in Aquarius or Aquarius energy? So I will say to my husband, hey, I'm off to have a coffee. And what he knows that means is I don't care about the coffee, but he is not to come with me because I need time away. And often what I'll do as a moon in Aquarius is take a book, go and read it, not on my own. I don't want to be on my own. I just don't want anybody to talk to me. So I'll often go and sit in Starbucks, have my coffee, read my book, and I feel wonderful because nobody is bothering me. So it's really good to learn where your moon is and what the qualities of that moon are. So a moon in Taurus may want to eat when they get distressed, or they may want to put music on. Moon in Scorpio, they may want to dance. Moon in Cancer, maybe they want hugs. Each of us needs something different. And I feel that those are fundamental rules of a relationship, not an expectation. They are, this isn't what I expect, this is what I need, and this will nurture me. So what is it that nurtures you? And what do you need to tell someone around you about your need for nurturing? What gives you pleasure? I mean, it's the same as having sex. Does your partner know what it is that you need, where your erogenous zones are, so that you can have a wonderful experience. And likewise, do you know what theirs are? What is it they need for their pleasure, for their nurturing? But expectations are slightly different because they are based more on what will make me feel that I am okay. And unfortunately, when we don't have those needs met, we often have that feeling that the person doesn't like us, they don't love us, but we experience it as a hurt in our heart or a disappointment or a pain. Why doesn't that person do what I want them to do? Why aren't they a real sister? Why aren't they like I want them? Why wasn't my mother more loving? Why wasn't my father more present for me? And it is absolutely true. That hurts an awful lot. But the truth is, their reaction to you is causing you to define yourself. Your sense of self is dependent on the way they treat you. Now, we can all see that that isn't correct. We shouldn't be defined by somebody else's reaction to us. But that's what's happened. We spend a lot of time reading people through our solar plexus, as I always describe, this big satellite dish. And we say, if you love me, this is what you'll do. And maybe they don't even react, but they raise an eyebrow or they look at you in a certain way when you ask for something and you immediately say, that's it, they don't like me. Very easy for us to get into this catch-22 system where we are, our definition, our sense of self, our sense of okayness about ourselves is so tied in to other people's reaction to us or approval of us. And that's what I'm defining as expectations. And of course, if you read certain novels or you watch certain movies, you will have a rather rose-colored glasses view of what a relationship should be. We watch something and go, wow, look, they had an orgasm. Immediately they got into bed with each other. Wow, look how that person treats them. Wow, look at that mother. She puts aside everything for her children. Wow, look, that father is so fun to play with. And the more we see those images, the more we may compare them with our own and think, well, that didn't happen to me. That's not the way it was. And we then project our pain or our disappointment out onto the world. And instead of changing it, we literally keep defining ourselves and therefore recreating the pain. In other words, there you go again. Nobody ever understands me. There you go. Everybody treats me that way. There we go. The world is a bad place. So we see everybody through our own woundedness. And that is based on our expectations. Now, it may be very, very, if I may say, very clear for me to say, whoever said that your sister or your brother or your parents would love you, whoever said that they would understand who you were, whoever told you that people even would be nice to you. And you might say, well, it's got to be that way. That's the world. But it doesn't have to be that way. Now, that doesn't mean you go around saying everybody is negative, everybody's nasty. Could we go into a relationship without expectations? Could we go in saying there are just two people meeting, I have no expectations or what we call prejudgments, prejudices of you, and you have no prejudices of me? Can we meet without bias? Can we meet without actually already predicting what the outcome of this relationship? And at this present time, certainly in the States, there is so much about color and gender and creed and culture and religion. There is so much that we enter into a relationship already with predetermined expectations of how this is going to come about, how this relationship is going to end. And that's so sad, because we're not coming from a place of just protecting ourselves from a place of real hurt. Now, I should say this in a different way. We are coming from a place of trying to protect ourselves from being wounded again. In other words, if I've been wounded, these prejudgments, these biases are set up in order for me to protect myself about becoming hurt again. But what actually happens is, instead of protecting us, we are manifesting the same thing in our world over and over again, which just really builds the pain that we're holding. Does that make sense? And then what happens is we attract more people who actually will hurt us, or even someone who isn't hurting us, we see, or they must be, because that's the way they are. I will say that the solar plexus is a bit like a nose. I don't know why I always say, but it's like it's a nose. So I say it doesn't have a lot of logical thinking or reasoning behind it. So the solar plexus will say, wow, smell coffee, need coffee. Even though you've just had 6 cups of coffee and you don't need another cup of coffee, because the simplicity of your solar plexus is pure reactive. Smell, have, smell, have. And the same thing happens when we meet people who may have a certain name or come from a certain country. We've already predetermined how we will react with that person, even though the George, and I'm sorry if I use that word, but if your name is George, but if I've had a bad experience with a George in the past, every time someone says, hello, I'm George, I'll have a bad experience. And I'll already prejudge that person without ever giving them a second chance. So what I'm coming around to saying is, when it comes to forgiveness, maybe part of that forgiveness, and I know this is really pertinent to me and me picking those three cards, was forgive me for expecting you to be a certain way. That's unconscionable. That's not right. I'm so sorry that I have already prejudged you. I've already decided that you should act in a certain way. How does that sound? See, that's why I named this podcast, Forgive Me for My Expectations. Because with my expectations, I am blinded to you, to your actions, to your life, to your soul's path, to who you are. I only see you through one lens. And I'm so driven to have you meet my needs, meet my expectations, and anything else goes out the window. So maybe you've seen this from the other side. I've certainly had people say, I expected you to be different. I expected you to be more spiritual. I expected you to be more caring. I expected you, la la. And you've hurt me because you're not. And I've kind of stood in amazement because that's their expectations. I can only say, you know, maybe I'm sorry I didn't meet your expectations, but I didn't even know what they were. And truly, I can only be myself. I can only care in the way that I care. I can only be spiritual in the way I believe spirituality is. We need to find a place where your expectations are not defining me. And that so maybe you can hear where I'm coming from in terms of spirituality or caring. Maybe that's the place where we need to find the true meaning of intercourse, the true meaning of forgiveness. Maybe it is in true cooperative communication where we say, let's try and understand where each of us is coming from before we create judgments. What is your definition of this? And are you even able to hear me? And perhaps that's part of the point, is we don't actually listen to each other. We charge in with our expectations. We charge in expecting that person to behave in a certain way. And so that then also brings to mind for me, my expectations of others. And I take it to heart and I honestly say, forgive me for trying to change you if that is what I've done. Because I have such a high standard inside myself of constantly wanting to change, to grow, to transform myself, that I expect everybody else wants the same. And I know as a woman, and women do this far more than men, we have a tendency to love someone and then want to change them, or see the potential in someone and want to help them to reach that potential, without ever asking them whether they want to reach that or not, whether they're happy where they are. And I see that as a real problem inside me that I honestly am saying that I am attempting to change. Because I see that when people meet me, I believe that what they offer to me is something that they are saying, help me to become whole, help me to become healed, help me to become all that I am. That's the true meaning of healing. And I, without truly listening sometimes, will move in the direction of what I consider is their wholeness and find that we're on completely different pages. And so I offer really my sincere regrets that I have gone there, and I ask anybody that I receive forgiveness from you, because my belief in where you want to go, even though you speak about wanting to change, may be very different from what you're actually saying. Now, I want to say in my defense, I work very hard with my intuition to read not just the words you speak, but what are behind the words you speak. But me, sometimes I just get it wrong. And sometimes I get it wrong in the people who I care about the most, because I feel that sometimes I miss the messages that are coming from the person because I like and love this person so much. So I'm being honest, and because this is my forgiveness. These were my three cards that came to me. And in the final analysis, I came down forgiveness of myself, because I do have high standards and I do push myself. And I try to keep away those high standards from the people, but I can push myself beyond what is reasonable. I expect so much of myself. And so in forgiving others, or asking for forgiveness from others, or forgiving myself, they're all tied in together. So I hope through this podcast, I've at least stirred some thoughts for you. I'm a great believer in writing letters you never send. So sometimes I write a letter asking for forgiveness and then burn it, knowing that even if the person is no longer alive, they will receive that message. I've asked forgiveness for my actions many times. I hope you have. But I also have seen that giving forgiveness or asking for forgiveness is one thing. Other people asking for my forgiveness is less common. And do I hold them then to be accountable? No, I think I'm far more forgiving than I am of myself. That may be true for some of you. I hope and pray that we all can find not just the words of forgiveness in our hearts, but the meaning and the depth of it. I hope that forgiveness is not just saying sorry and continually doing the same thing. I hope that we can find true communication where we're honest without expectations, we're honest without prejudice, and we truly can meet each other almost in the nakedness of saying, who are you? What can I expect of you? Not what do I expect of you? And I'll tell you the same. And see if we can find that place of common unity. So with much love, I leave you in this wonderful place of forgiveness and bless you all for being who you are as you speak and listen from your hearts.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Remember to check out other episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. And do share with friends, family, and colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.